Okay, let's begin. Yesterday's daf was daf Samach Gimel, number 63. Today's daf Samach Dalet, 64. We'll do a review of yesterday's daf, get to today's. I have in mind that our learning should be a merit for the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Should be, Hashem should protect them. As well as our learning should be an Eloi Neshama for Yitzchak Keshel Ben Avram Gedalia, Bas Ami, Bas Shlomo Zalmin Yirmiyo, and Sarah Bas Menachem. And also have a minor for Shlema, Tito ben Chasha, Yeshua ben Mina, Hadassah ben Ronya, Yitzchak ben Yael Zahava, is that right? No, Yitzchak ben Zahava, I'm forgetting. Help me out. And you, right, you're going to visit the doctor.
Pintus Yaakov ben
Gito. Okay. For Shlema. Chava Bastal Yinda and Shoshana Goldebrocha Basi Alarino and all also need a refuah. And with that, we're starting a review. So we have here an interesting. Rava claimed that we were stuck without an explanation of the latter case of the Mishnah. What's going on in this case over here? So we explained that what's going on is it's according to Rav Oshia's Braisa. Rav Oshia said in the Braisa that somebody's lent money to somebody else and he came to claim the debt. He said, look, I need the money. Why do you need it? What's the rush? And so he says, well, I need it because I want to buy wheat. There's a wheat now is at their good price. Okay, it's like there's a seasonal thing. When you buy earlier in the season, you can get a better price. Then later on in the season, the price goes up. That's how he makes his money. So I want to buy wheat. So he says, no problem. Check out today's. I have wheat. I'll sell you the wheat for that 100 that I owe you. I'll give it to you for that price. We're reviewing number 63.
Okay. So they established the rate.
The rate at the going of that day.
Of the moment of the operation.
The moment of when they made the deal.
Right.
I shake hands on it.
It's sort of like in the commerce language, the rate of operation.
Of operation. I'm not familiar with that expression. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But that was the moment. And then he comes back a few months later. He says, look, I need the wheat. I want to sell it. Why do you need the wheat? It says, because I want to sell it, because I want to buy wine. He says, I have wine. We'll do is we'll transfer it over. Whatever the value of the wheat is today's market.
By the value that day.
That day's value. So the value of that day's wheat, okay. I'm now going to give you that much wine. So he's transferring his ownership of the
wine. Probably more to make on the wheat he's making.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So in this wine, okay, I'm making.
I don't care. I anyway wanted to sell it. I didn't want the wheat to eat. I wanted the wheat to make the profit, to sell it. And he's like, no problem. I'm giving you as if you sold the wheat today, because I'll sell it for you. And then I have the wine, I'll give you the wine at that price. So he's giving the wine at that price. Then a few months later, he wants to sell the wine to buy oil. So is that legal or is that not legal? That's the question. I got bounced off over here. Okay. Is it legal or isn't it legal? So basically, it depends. If he had the wheat, he had the wine, he had the oil, the borrower. So then it's a legal transaction, everything's fine, perfectly legal. But if it turns out that he didn't have any of those things, so then it's an illegal transaction. He's basically borrowing money. He never had wheat, he never had any of that stuff. He's just giving him credit that he's basically saying, since I can't pay you back now, I'm giving it to you as if you have the wheat, as if you have the wine, as if you have the oil. And then in the end, when you get money, I'm going to have to give you back the money. That's going to be a lot more than what I borrowed. And basically, it's just a glorified loan with significant interest. Okay? Usurious rate. Okay. So, that's the explanation, he says, of the Mishnah. So comes along Rav and he says that we learned from this shita of Rav Oshia three important chidushim. Number one, that a lender can who basically lent money, he could get credit for the peros at that time as if he's purchasing, even though there's no money at the time, which is different than meaning there's an idea that we saw before. Maybe it only works when you're coming with money and I give the vendor the money at that time, so then he gives me a good rate for that time because I'm giving the money to buy it. Here, I lent him money. He doesn't even have the money to pay me back, and he's giving me the credit as if I'm buying it with that money that he doesn't even have. So maybe you would say you wouldn't be allowed to do that, but first of all, Rav Oshia is clearly saying that that's fine. You don't say, hey, it's not like an Isser HaBaliyata, like the money's in hand. Second Kiddush is that that it's only if he has the product. He has the wheat, he has the wine, he has the oil. Otherwise, this doesn't work. And the third Kiddush is that we also like Rav Yani. What is Rav Yani's din? Which is basically, Rav Yani says that in the end, it doesn't matter whether he gets the money or he gets the value of the money. It's the same. It's basically the same thing. Meaning the our product or the money, it's the same thing. So basically, the debt was already paid off when he originally was giving him the wheat at that price. And that happens to be a machlokus between Rav and Rav Yani. Rav says that you can do this locked-in price on the produce, but you can't do so with money. And Rav Yani says it doesn't matter. Produce is, if it's the money or if it's the value of the money, the product that's the value of the money, it's not a problem. So how would Rav explain the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that if im yesh lo is mutter, that's the Mishnah, that's what we're saying, according to Rav Oshia, it doesn't really fit with Rav. So Rav Huna said name of Rav. No, that's talking about where he actually took possession of the wheat. So if he took possession, what's the chiddush? The answer is he didn't really take possession. He ki'ilu took possession, meaning it was miyachid. He established for him a separate corner where his wheat is sitting. Shmuel said that you could say that our Mishnah is going like the other Tana, like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that tzadechad beribis isn't a prohibited. And that's what this case over here is. It's what we call tzad echad, one-sided ribis. One-sided means that it's only on a chance that there's ribis here. It's not necessarily ribis. Meaning you may or may not make profit on this thing. May go up, may not go up. So that's what it means, tzad echad ribis, and that's the story. Shmuel, okay. So that's the story. I think we might have an extra chair here.
What's that? Here, no, I'm not.
Okay. He's looking for a Balcore.
No, okay. I was surprised because he wasn't here the last days and now he's here.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Shmuel says that it's going like Rabbi Yehuda who said Tzad Echad Beribis is Mutter. What's the case of Tzad Echad Beribis? It's an interesting scenario. Basically, the case is the guy lending money, a money, and the guy says, look, if I pay you back, but if I can't pay you back, you have this field, and this field is yours for the money, okay? And you own it as of now. If I come up with the money, then you'll give me back the field, and I'll give you the money. In the meantime, who gets to eat the produce of that field? The Tanakhama says that it's only permissible if the seller of the field gets to eat the field during this interim period, till he has the right, till he either pays or doesn't pay. But Rabbi Yehuda says even if the buyer is eating the peros, it still couldn't be permitted. And he says that there was such a story like this with a fellow, Bisus ben Zunin, who did exactly that, and it was done on Pi Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and it was the case where the buyer ate the peros, and it was no problem. So he said, no, you got the story wrong. It was the seller who ate the peros, not the buyer. What's the machlokes here between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama? Machlokes is tzad echad beribis, because even though he's going to eat the produce during this time, and if the guy comes up with the money, then he will get more than what he lent out. But it's not necessarily so. It's only one possibility. Also, it's a possibility that he's not going to get anything. Who says the field will produce? It's only a possibility that it may or may not produce. That's not called ribis if it's not a given, if he's not guaranteed to get it. Maybe he'll get it, maybe he won't get anything. Okay. That's the one answer. Rava says that actually they're not arguing on that. They're saying, of course, he's going to have to give it back. The question is it still problematic if he gets it in the meantime and then would give it back afterwards? And that's where Rav Yehuda says that that's fine. Look, you know, whatever. If he didn't come up with the money, so then I owned it already as of then, so I had no problem keeping it. I just keep track of what I eat. And then if he does come up with the money, so then I'll give it back to him then. And it's not a problem. And the Chacham Tanakama says that is a problem. Okay. Now, comes along Rav and he wants to apply Rav Yanai in a step farther. He says, once Rav Yanai introduced this concept that we say, Mali hei mali tmei, it doesn't matter whether it's money or it's the product, which is the value of the money. So then it should follow that in the end, when he's coming to collect at the end, okay, you know, at some point he's going to have to say, look, okay, now I want to reap the profits of the oil, right? Remember, it was a transaction of wheat that transferred over to wine, that transferred over to oil. At some point, he's selling the oil and actually selling and cashing out. That cash out, that's what we're talking about. Where do we say, Mali Hain, Mali Tmehen? So you should also say at that point that it's not only if he takes the product of the oil at the end, even if he takes the value of the oil at the end, which is with all those profits, it's fine. It goes both ways. And, okay. We said that the price gets locked in at the market at the time that's at the gate. Apparently, there was established value. Once the products are hitting market, then that's where the dust settles and we sort of see where the, you know, where the rates are going to be, where things are going, whether it was a good crop that year, is the supply versus the demand, right? I don't know if you read the news, what do they say? The olive oil industry is saying it's a very rough year. Not going to be as enough olive oil, so the price of olive oil is going to rise. That's what's going to happen. Same thing. In anything, if there is a very good year, so then there's going to be a surplus. So that'll bring the prices down. That's basically market rules, and that's what he's saying. Once that hits the market, so then it takes time till it hits, and that's what we're saying. And that works even if he doesn't have it. So it comes along Rav Papa and Rav Huna. Comes along with Papa and Rav Huna, Abrei Rav Shua. They said to Rava, it says that it's only legal if he has it, not if he doesn't have it. And this chiddush of Rav Yane, Mali Demen, Mali Hain, even if he doesn't have it, that's not fitting in with our Mishnah. So he says, the fundamental difference is, and this is really what we're seeing, is that it depends on what the nature of the original transaction was. Was it a loan? And then it becomes problematic because he needs to have the product, or was it originally just a purchase? So then a purchase is different. It's a transaction, and that's the difference. Rabbi Rav Yosef also said that's the same thing. That's what's going on over here. What's the reason why they say that we go by the market of the day, even if he doesn't have it? Because you could say, look, if you're not going to give me at the market the going rates of that day, then what are you doing me any benefit? If I had the money, if you would, you know, I would be able to buy it in even cheaper rates. So there's no benefit otherwise. Baye said to Rav Yosef, according to that, why aren't I allowed to sell a saw to get back a saw, even though the price of the saw goes up? And because of the same thing, when I had it in my storehouse, I had no risk, and now I'm losing that when you're paying me back in money or locking it in on a different price value of the saw. So he says that's exactly the same difference. There's a fundamental difference between loans and sales. A sale is a sale. If you You know, if you're selling something, so then that's a sale, that's a transaction. If you're lending money or lending an item, so then it's much stricter. Okay. Next we saw is that there is a value in it about the fee that normally is, there's a broker fee that you would normally have to pay. So my answer is that indeed you do have to pay it. That's one shot. That's the first, that's what Rabbi Adabrava said to Rabbi, that was Rabbi's answer. Rav Ashi gave a different answer. He says that a person who has money in hand, that is the broker fee, because the deal comes to the person who has cash in hand, and they present the deal to him. So all you need to know is need to let the people know that you got cash, and next thing you know, the deals come your way, and they'll bring the product to you, and that is basically covering the brokerage fee. We did one more piece over here. Rabbi and Rav Yosef, they both say the same thing, that when somebody gives money to get the early pricing, which is cheaper, you have to go to the silo to get it there. Why? If it's to finalize the purchase, you're not taking possession, so what are you talking about? If it's that there's a mishapara, you gave the cash already, and he is going to have a mishapara, what's the difference whether you show up or not? You're giving the money in advance. So there's a mishapara if he reneges on the deal. So the Gemara says, no, you're talking about a mishapara over here, but the way it works in this business, you do that with a number of people, okay? You give money to a few producers, and you'll finalize with one of the two, whichever has the best product. Okay, but you're locking in the price, and you're giving money up front to a number of people. If you show up at the silo, then he knows that the transaction is good, and you're going to go forward with the transaction. Otherwise, he says, maybe you found somebody who's better than me, who has a better product than me, and I don't really settle my mind to really know that this deal is going through. And once we came to that conclusion, so then even if you didn't see him at the silo, but you saw him in the market, and you had that face-to-face, and you said, look, I'm trusting you, I'm ready to go forward with it, even though he knows that it's a done deal, so he doesn't have to be at the silo, it could be wherever you meet the guy, it could be in shul even, all right. And then as long as you indicated to him that it's finalized, that's all that matters. Okay, and that is the review of yesterday's daf.